As a difficult session nears its scheduled completion, I want to thank the legislators for their hard work and express the hope that only a few more days of effort remain. I'm as eager as all the members I talk to that the session end on time. Special sessions were once common, but despite annual predictions, Indiana has not needed one during the last 4 years. One way a governor can help prevent a special session is to avoid surprises by being very clear about what is and is not acceptable. And another is to be reasonable and flexible about the details. Speaker Bauer said to me this week, and I agree, there are really just two items that must be achieved before adjournment. One's a fair overhaul of our state's out-of-balance UI system. The other is a budget that protects vital services and taxpayers both now and in the future. As of now, neither the House nor the Senate proposals meet that test. I am not finding fault or criticizing anyone. It's just that both budgets were built on revenue assumptions that turned out to be way off. To illustrate, the shortfall just partway through April is already larger than the Senate budget assumes all the way through the end of June. A budget that ignores reality will spend money we won't have, quickly devour our rainy day funds, and force tax increases and massive service cutbacks like those going on now in other states. With $4 billion of federal stimulus dollars added in, Indiana will see record public spending the next 2 years under any state budget. Let's work together to see that Hoosier workers and taxpayers are protected during this cycle and beyond.
Is this a veto threat?
I don't talk in those terms. You guys sometimes put those words in my mouth. What I'm saying here is the last thing that I want to see, and I think the last thing most legislators want to see, is an extended session. I don't see any reason for it, but we do have to face reality. It's no one's fault upstairs that revenues are far short of what were originally projected or even projected recently. Now, just to illustrate, we've been talking about the cliff. The green line is the revenue forecast that was just received this month. Accepting that forecast as to the future, correcting only for real revenues. Coming in right now, actual dollars we can count, there's no debate about them. It produces a line that looks like this. So even if they are right about future growth, and I hope they are, we have a gap to fill. This is spending just on the Senate proposal. I don't have a big enough chart to capture the House spending. And we have a gap to close unless we want to force Hoosiers into tax increases, and that's the one thing we will not agree to. Yeah, the Senate wrote an excellent bill. It's balanced. It requires contributions from each side. And very importantly, it redresses the unfairness between big and small business. We've had two big problems in the UI system that was created 8 years ago, which has been leaking money even in good times, as you know. One is that it has low premiums and very high benefits, the third most generous in America, which we really cannot afford. The second is it's unfair between big business and small. Frankly, big business and labor got together 8 years ago and wrote a bill that left out the other 90% of Indiana workers. And therefore, the mom-and-pop store, the dentist office, the small insurance agency that rarely lay anybody off have been paying an unfair share. I thought the Senate did a great job of addressing both problems, but compromises can happen from there. My sense is the legislators are working very seriously. I'm hearing positive things from both sides about progress on UI.
Are you saying that a CIB bailout is not a necessity?
I think it really needs to happen. But when the speaker said there were two things of statewide importance that must happen, I thought he zoomed in on the problem issues very well.
Can you address the letter from the Colts yesterday that many people have found arrogant?
I'm sorry, Norm?
Can you address that letter from the Colts yesterday?
I'll let everybody read that letter for themselves. I would just say, as I've said before, that when circumstances change, you have to make adjustments. It's true of budgets. It's certainly true of issues like the CIB. And I just hope all parties will take a constructive role. Everyone is going to have to play a role, just as in budgeting, just as in unemployment insurance, for that matter. I say all parties, and that certainly includes both teams.
Could you be specific about what spending in the budget that they have in there that you want them to cut back?
When I say that another way I hope to help, in addition to being very open and clear, is by being flexible, I really mean that. And so I am focused almost solely on protecting taxpayers by avoiding this cliff and by avoiding the burning through of our reserves, forcing a tax increase probably before we know it. And therefore, I'm not laying down any do's or don'ts about how we close that gap. I want to be as flexible as I can. If that means that certain things that I believe are high priorities have to take some reduction, then that'd be fair.
Governor, how would you describe the leadership with respect to the CIP issue? The mayor, senators, city council, lawmakers, it seems that nobody wants a sub-rating tax. The council said they don't want a tax. Folks outside of Marin County don't want the alcohol tax, even though they would benefit. Nobody wants to step up and do anything. You feel like I have to start playing GPS here and giving people direction
on
where they need to go and what they need to do?
Actually, I think Senator Kenley's on the right track to give Marion County a very large toolbox, more than is necessary, and then let the people here decide which of those tools to use to address this problem. There should be higher premiums. You have an insurance plan where the premiums don't cover the claims. And I think there has to be some give from both ends. We have the third most generous system in the country. It's frankly more than our economy can and our workers who can afford. And but on the other end, I think some increase in the premiums, which are still low compared to most states, it also has to be a part of an answer. We have the third most generous benefits in America. We don't have the third richest economy in America. And if you try to do this in a totally one-sided way, you will kill jobs in this state. And by the way, piling higher and higher premiums on the businesses just comes ultimately out of the workers' paycheck. So this has to be a mutual process from both ends, and I think in the end it will be. The state won records last year, two national records, as the finest child protection system in the country. It's a miraculous, worst-to-first job that they have done over there. You're chasing perfection, and there are still tragic problems that happen, every one of them breaks our heart. But there is absolutely no question that Indiana has been testified to by HHS, the Annie Casey Foundation, the authority on this. Indiana has made the most dramatic improvement and gone right to the top in terms of the national system for protecting children. And all I can say about it isn't good enough. We will never stop, because as long as there's a single child at risk, there's got to be something more we can do to improve.
You said that it wasn't a veto threat, but I'm not sure how else to take the words not acceptable.
I'm going to stand on the statement. A special session is the last thing I want to see, and I'm eager to avoid it. And I don't think it's necessary. I'm going to be as flexible, as I say, about details as I possibly can be. Try to be as helpful. I've given the legislators some, I hope, constructive suggestions about a way forward. They did not create this problem. But they have to be partners in addressing it, and we have to look reality in the face. If we pretend that we will have revenues beyond what is clear we'll have, then we will not have done our duty, and we will have done a real injustice to Indiana taxpayers.
Is any cliff unacceptable, or is it, if it gets smaller, is that something you can live with?
If it can get small enough that we could plausibly address it come 11, you know, I wouldn't say it's got to go to zero.
Are you still opposed to spending any rainy day funds?
Yes. As long as revenues are continuing to come up short of projections, until we see some, at least flattening of that, start using those rainy day funds now, you'll look like all these other states will run all the way through them, and these same legislators will be back before you know it saying, aw shucks, we have to raise taxes. And there is no need to do that. Let me just remind you, even on a very austere state budget, with billions of federal stimulus and a record road-breaking budget, which is not part of these numbers, added on, there will be a record amount of public spending in Indiana next year. But we need to be very, very careful if we care about taxes, if we care about being a positive environment for new jobs and growth on the other side of this recession. We need to not spend ourselves into bankruptcy where we have been not that long ago and other states are right now.
Governor, any comment on what's going on with the auto industry? Really bad news this week. And how might this impact the budget going forward?
Well, I guess it's obvious, but this morning's headlines about the auto companies failing to get out of their difficulty only means that this problem could get worse. Perhaps significantly. So I don't know that anybody should be surprised. I said in December I was hopeful, but I was dubious that politicians and the government would impose the kind of major changes on either management or unions necessary to make those companies viable. 4 months later, I don't think they've made any progress, except the taxpayers are out billions of dollars. So we are probably headed for that sort of an adjustment, and it only is another reason to be extremely cautious about government spending here in Indiana.
Do you see any kind of repeat of 82 where the legislature had to come back because things came up so profoundly to the steel industry? And now
well, I wasn't here in, I wasn't here in 82. I'll just say things have already changed. That's really my message this morning. And we can see they have. And there's, how I wish it were different. How I wish that the higher revenue projections were holding up. But duty in public life requires facing reality. And that's what I'm asking the legislature to do right now.
You're referring to mostly about the federal stimulus dollars and how they've used them. How do you propose using them, especially for education, in ways that don't touch the bottom line?
Well, let's be clear. There's going to be much more money spent in education in Indiana next year under any circumstances. For those who haven't looked around, Indiana schools are about the luckiest in America. We didn't have a huge cut in 09. And we won't have the large ones in the next 2 years either. And the federal stimulus dollars are very large coming in. But one thing we could do is to take some of the dollars currently planned for education in 09, state dollars, tuck them aside for the future in education, replacing them dollar for dollar with federal stimulus so that we have exactly as much spending as schools expected this year, but the future is better protected. If we go ahead and spend those dollars now, there will be a cliff for education, we've talked about this before, that's even more steep than the cliff the whole state government faces.
Those projections that they were talking about are all going to be gold. Is it your advice to the countries if they throw those out?
No, that they adjust them for the reality of what has come in. I'm not quarreling. Please know this is really important. We, on this blue line, accepts the forecast growth rates. We accept and trust that they have made a good projection of what's going to happen. The error, which is not conjecture, it's as real as today's receipts, is that the starting point will be lower. And we simply have to take this, we cannot wish away this gap that is right in front of us right now. It's as real as this table.
Governor, I'm going to go back to Colt's letter just for a moment on the statement that said they did not ask for a new stadium. That surprised you?
It's not the way I understood it, but I was no party to any of that. Those were discussions that happened between the city and the team. I was in private life at the time. We arrived in office after a deal had been struck and only got involved because the whole project was about to fall apart, and came up with a way to get the Stadium Convention Center constructed. But I can't speak to the accuracy of that statement. Wasn't part of it.
Why would you have gotten involved, though? Why not just let the whole thing fall apart unless you believed that the Colts, that this is really important?
Oh, I said at the time that what was really important was the convention center and the convention business, which is enormous. We have 25,000 firefighters in town right this minute spending money from out of state. I always say my favorite spectator sport at all these facilities is to watch people from out of state spend money in Indiana. So that's what we got involved with. We crafted a local self-help decision. It was not nobody was bailed out. There wasn't money from the rest of the state. And I'm glad we were part of it. But I'm answering Kevin's question. I really can't speak to the accuracy of that statement because wasn't there to hear.
What's your response to the criticism that when you folks took over the building of the stadium, that nobody accounted for those operational costs that have sort of led us here to this point where we are today?
Well, Abdul, I've answered this a bunch of times. Borrowing money to pay the light bill is bad business. Governments like New York City, who have hidden their operating costs in borrowing, pushing the cost down to the future, have come to real grief. It's bad practice. And it was perfectly clear to the city at the time that we would help to get a stadium and convention center constructed, but we weren't going to be party to what I consider the near fraud of borrowing money to pay bills that you really should be paying on a current basis. Incidentally, it was hard enough to get a package together just to build the place. If someone had said, you've got to borrow more money, you've got to have more revenue sources, I'm not sure it could have ever happened in the first place.
Governor, if there is a bill out there that would require doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges, what have you thought about that?
I haven't made a study of it yet, but I would probably defer to the legislature if it comes here.
There's a plan out there unveiled yesterday to move one of Gary's casinos within the city and then to use increases in taxes at the new facility to pay for projects in Northwest Indiana. Is that something you could support?
I could take a look at that. As I understand it, it would reduce the number of licenses in the state by one. And obviously there are needs and issues up there. I'm particularly concerned about maintaining an acceptable hospital for the citizens of Gary and Lake County. And I know that's, at least when this has been discussed with me, that was a principal objective. And I've spent a lot of time at Gary Methodist, and it's a very essential facility, and we don't want it to see it collapse.
You're not worried about the diversion of funds that would otherwise be going to the general fund to stay up there?
Well, I'm not embracing this latest suggestion. You just asked me, am I open to it? I'm open to it under the... There have to be all kinds of protections and safeguards. This is Lake County, after all.
Why should legislators go to the trouble of creating these tools for Marion County and the CIB if the City County Council doesn't appear willing to utilize them?
I think you asked the question the wrong way around. Why shouldn't the legislature make, perhaps a more than ample toolbox available and give? I've always been an advocate on issue after issue of giving localities more home rule, more opportunity to address their own problems in their own way. And I just see this as completely consistent with that approach. Someone from another part of the state said to me this week, I thought wisely, people love home rule until they get some, because with it comes the responsibility for making difficult decisions. But that's presumably why these councilors ran for public office.
Suburban counties were involved in building the stadium. Should they have any role perhaps in helping pay for this problem, considering they're probably closer proximity and use them more often?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, but if it's not, it appears to me that they can provide, again, an ample toolbox without that, and I don't see much prospect right now of anything beyond that happening.
How do you feel generally about expanding these professional sports development areas? There's a talk about adding Circle Center, and part of that bill also includes an expansion of Fort Wayne that would take away existing state power.
Yeah, I don't favor that particularly. You know, I think under very carefully controlled circumstances, sometimes in the past, and I'm not critical of what we have, if it can really be said that it creates revenue that under no circumstances would have been there before, then a case can be made. But the case for these is way too loosely made, and in general, I think I don't favor adding any to what we have.
Governor, I know you didn't like this term veto threat, just kind of piggyback on Jim and Mary Beth's question.
Somehow I know I'm going to see it in somebody's story anyway, even if I disclaim it 12 more times.
But it would be fair to say, though, that you are promising the Hoosier taxpayers that if lawmakers present to you a budget that takes the state finances sort of over the cliff, to use the term, that that is enough to make folks stay late.
I'm just going to stand on the statement I made, Abdul. The only budget I can accept is one that guards against catastrophic service cuts and tax increases of the kind that have happened in other states. And through no one's fault in the legislature, right now we have a system that makes that, I mean, that's the threat to worry about. Indiana is one of the few states that hasn't laid off lots of public employees, and that would be my goal, to avoid that. But we will look for those savings that are necessary, and we simply can't rule out any particular step. It's obviously a lot better to skip a day or two or now and then than to lose a job completely, so can't say that we would never take that step. No, except that every one of our, you remember that our department heads have been asked many times, most recently in December, to make substantial adjustments. And we have saved, as you know, hundreds of millions. Don't think it didn't catch my attention. The president makes great fanfare about saving $100 million in a budget that's 200 to 300 times bigger than Indiana's. And our team saved $800 million from December to now. So we will do those things that are necessary, but things that affect our employees are a last resort.
Giving a pay would be a furlough. That's one thing that you say is better than a layoff is a pay cut, also fall in that category.
Sure.
Governor, it was the first week of January when Gary first went before the Distressed Unit Appeals Board. Some lawmakers have suggested your administration made a conscious decision to not decide this until the session is over with. Is there any truth to that, or does it just speak to the difficulty in deciding this?
There's a Lake County conspiracy theory for you. No. It took quite a while for Gary to bring forward information. I mean, that board, and I, not part of it, but I'm sure that they weren't going to make a decision either no or yes without understanding, you know, how much should it really take to run the city of Gary? As you have frequently reported, we've all learned some things in the last few months. But no, I think it's been moving as fast as it can. But nobody was either going to turn them down flat or make some more lenient decision without knowing, without looking into the finances of the people who are pleading. You're going to have to try a third time. What do you mean?
The argument has been, and you've made this before today, that in 05, things were council saying we don't like the options that are on the table, we don't think we want to do that. There appears to be no agreement publicly among those trying to negotiate a solution. What, if anything, do you see behind the scenes among those parties that suggests that they are on course for it?
Well, first of all, we've been engaged. We have spent a lot of time on this. But as I mentioned, have mentioned before, if this were Gary or South Bend or Fort Wayne or anywhere else in Indiana, no one would say, the governor should just dictate the answer. He should tell us what to do. No, they would come down and say, here's what we'd like to do, or give us the following tools, or give us the following help. And so I don't, but I don't see it any different. My responsibility is to all the taxpayers of this state, not to any one city more than any other. I would also observe that the last time we had to get more than one county involved in order to solve a problem that, frankly, was much larger than this one. And so we did.
Governor, what should be done if the Colts and Pacers decide not to contribute?
Done by whom?
Anybody, everybody.
Well, in that case, I'd say they should search their conscience.
Governor, three states, I think, have received their federal education stimulus dollars already. Mm-hmm. Is it correct that you won't see the National Education Utility Concession?
I can't. Until I know how the General Assembly, we want them to be full partners in this, and until I know both how they're treating the overall education budget how they propose to use the stimulus funds integrated with it, I can't make that application. But the minute that we have a budget agreement, I will. Okay, thanks a lot.